It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Monday, December 30th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. If you live near a city, you're probably aware of those red light cameras, the ones that catch you in the act and send you a cute little photo of your car running the light along with a ticket. Well, starting today in Washington, D.C., some new and techie camera systems will start giving out tickets on a whole bunch of stuff, from rolling through stop signs to trucks taking illegal shortcuts. Marketplace's Sally Herships takes a look.
Automated traffic enforcement is so much more than just one camera at a stoplight. That's according to Mark Takahashi with Edmunds.com.
These are contractors hired by the cities to set up the cameras, maintain them, and also submit all that data to the police departments.
Takahashi says some cities, like L.A., decided the systems were just too pricey. Russ Rader with the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety says a red light camera at one intersection can run $100,000. But he says when it comes to collecting fines, the cameras have diminishing returns.
Cities should not depend on the camera revenue to fund the program indefinitely, because as the cameras work to change driver behavior, the revenue falls.
And Rader says, when it comes to traffic cameras, municipalities should be focused on safety, not making money. I'm Sally Herships for Marketplace.
All this week, we're going to be talking about big tech trends in the coming year. Today, a topic that failed to live up to its promise in 2013. Yes, I'm talking about wearable technology, but CNET's Lindsay Turrentine thinks it's going to be big next year. Lindsay, how are you?
I'm doing well.
You're talking about smartwatches and Google Glass, but we've been talking about this all during 2013. So how's it going to blow up in 2014?
I think that in 2014, the manufacturers of these things are going to figure it out. And I'm not necessarily talking about Google Glass, which is going to get a ton of attention. The big winner is going to be watches. I think that what's actually going to happen is that you're going to see these fitness watches adopt more other skills.
Now, my contention has long been that smartwatches won't really take off until you have some kind of wireless headphone so that you can have that video call without actually having to have like headphones plugged into your watch.
The weirdness with smartwatches has always been, okay, but why wouldn't you just do that with your cell phone? And I think that smartwatches won't really take off until you can actually embed the phone receiver in the watch.
So do you think that's going to happen in 2014?
I think it could. We're seeing at least one device that has a little bit of that. The challenge has always been battery life. When you have an antenna in the watch, the battery wears down pretty quickly. And so, you know, creating a battery that's small enough to fit into the watch has been a challenge. But battery technology is advancing pretty quickly right now. And so we might get there.
Lindsay Turrentine, thank you very much for predicting the future with me.
Thank you.
Marketplace Tech is listener-supported. To keep our coverage relevant and compelling, please consider making a tax-deductible gift in any amount to Marketplace today. Help us keep you up to date and well-informed wherever you are. Donate at marketplace.org by December 31st. Today, the North American Open Chess Tournament wraps up in Las Vegas. Worth mentioning because the game of chess and computing have long been connected, and because we're about to hear from a former chess champ who used his knowledge of the game to create a company called Pegasystems. If you don't know Pegasystems, well, it's not exactly a consumer electronics brand, but it provides a lot of powerful behind-the-scenes software, like the stuff that helps customer service agents access information while they talk to you on the phone. Alan Treffler is the CEO of Pegasystems. Alan, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks a lot, Ben.
Why does chess and computing have this sort of rich history of interaction?
If you take a look at the inception, being able to teach the computer something about how a master evaluated the position and the sort of rules they followed just seemed like an absolutely terrific challenge. What's happened, though, is people gave up on trying to solve the problem that way, and they just went at it with brute force. The downside of that is that the results from having taught a computer to play chess are not really tremendously useful in lots of other business problems.
And so how does Pegasystems come out of that?
One way to think about it is, you know, everybody thinks about data, and big data is terrific. But to make data live, you need to use judgment. You need to have sort of the rules and the heuristics and the types of things that let you understand what that data really means at the point of contact with the customer.
Uh-huh.
And so it's that marriage of what we call business intent. Think of them as rules and decisioning technology. And business process, think of that as automation. And those are the two things we do. And we do it in contact centers. We do it live on websites. We've been involved in trying to help companies do a better job around healthcare. And we touch about 70% of the insured population of the U.S., for example.
So now I have to ask you about the online healthcare exchanges.
I think that the disaster in the online health exchanges is where people wrote these manual specifications. They employed legions of programmers to basically code things into the language of the computer, and that's easy to screw up, hard to scale up, and the worst problem is yet to come, which is they're going to find that this stuff is almost impossible to change. I guarantee you that a computer can write better code than the average programmer. You know, the irony is that computer software is about the only industry where they don't use computer-aided design.
Alan Treffler is founder and CEO of Pegasystems. Alan, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Ben. A real pleasure.
And here's some news that'll probably make your week less productive. The Internet Archive recently posted a huge trove of vintage console video games from the 70s and 80s. I'm talking Atari 2600, I'm talking ColecoVision, and yes, the Astrocade. You can play in a browser. There's a link on our website, marketplacetech.org. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.